It's a download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Oh, wow. New Year's resolutions shouldn't be that hard, right? For far too often, we make them too predictable. You know, what's ever on our minds. Or whatever's in front of us, because, you know, that just becomes our resolution. I need to lose weight. I should read more books. I need to stop watching Say Yes to the Dress. Like, I just...
I think for you, you don't need to do that at all.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm resolving myself to V-neck sweaters. Like, I've decided that's just going to be my thing.
It's
working
look.
For you.
Yeah,
like
you like it? I've got one on today. Every day, it's going to be a V-neck sweater.
For those of you who cannot see, who are not right now walking past the windows, he looks very fetching. Right
I now. Do. There's a webcam, WGNradio.com. Oh, you can see how we look. Yes, that's right. Oh, those lovely lovely voices. Our local writers, Ian Belknap and Lindsay Moscato, who have put some, I'd say, put some effort into this yearly ritual of New Year's resolution. They're the brains behind the stage show Write Club. If you haven't been to Write Club, well, probably because you got better things to do.
Hey.
It's just once a month, man. Come on.
I will say that show, which happens monthly at the Hideout in Bucktown, is one of the best live shows running. And that's not me giving it a recommendation, because I don't do that. That's the established press. You know, the Reader, the Tribune. Great pieces. Every time I turn around, you guys got a nice piece in one of our local pubs. The concept, two opposing writers, two opposing ideas. Audience picks a winner. Prize money goes to charity. Come on. So cliche. Ian and Lindsay, welcome to Download. Good to see you guys.
Thank you.
I'm sorry it took this long to get you guys in here. I love the show. I love what you guys do. Personally, Ian, you had me rolling with your New Year's resolution. So what prompted you on Facebook to write out 35 resolutions?
I didn't write 35.
It seemed like it was 30. It was a long 20. Facebook post.
It was 20. It was a nice round number.
I didn't hit the C more. You know, it was
a face. Exactly. I'm sure those are great. I'm sure the rest of them are fine.
Have them on the radio.
Right.
They're probably good.
My target here, and I hope you listeners will find this amusing when I read it in a moment, is the sort of mindless resolutioning that you were just talking about. Mm-hmm. That thing of, I got to come up with something, right?
Right. V-neck sweaters.
V-neck sweaters. See, that's within reach.
That is
within
reach.
That's attainable.
You're just saying, like, most of the ones we come up with are either cliche, they're trite, or they're unattainable. They're not real. We can't, that's like the idea of, I'm going to go to the gym every day. It's just, come on. That's so low hanging fruit. Don't do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I'm going to turn 50 this year. And so I'm not going to fool anybody. That I'm going to go to the gym every day, right? I'm least of all myself.
I'm waiting for June when I walk past the Cheetah Gym and I see you up in the front, like,
exactly,
doing your thing.
You guys, I have a personal training session on Wednesday.
Do you?
My first one ever.
Do you really?
I do.
Did you do this for New Year's? Did you?
Yes.
See? What do you say to that?
I say, Mazel Tov. To you.
You say it's going to last one day, right?
Well, I mean, I used to belong to a gym back when I was a fully functioning human. And the guy at the front desk told me that there's like a huge spike for the first 2 weeks of January and then flatline for the rest of the
right.
year.
Right.
Yeah.
So buck that trend.
I'm working on it.
You should do what I do for the gym. So I signed up for a gym, but I took the discounted rate because I can go during the day when no one else can.
Oh, nice.
Like there's actually at this gym, they're like, there's two rates. There's one, if you come between 5 and 8, you know, it costs more. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm more of like 11 o'clock in the day because I work at night. So I get a job where you work till 11 o'clock at night.
Lessons for the new year.
That's right. All right, Ian, how long is this piece?
I don't know.
So what we'll do? Let's wait till after the news. We'll do the news because I only have about 3 minutes. I want to give you time to spread out. And I also want to talk about Write Club because I'm not joking, Chicago. This is one of the best shows and it's developed. I mean, it's not just here. Obviously, it's in other cities, but it has developed over time. And I want to talk to Ian and Lindsay about plans for 2016 because this is a big year for you guys. Because if I were you, I'd give up. I just quit. What's the point?
Right.
That's what we consider every day.
That's how we begin at each meeting. Is today the day?
Is today the day?
Pull the plug.
So we'll talk about this. So it's every. Is it Tuesday nights? Is that what it is?
third Tuesday of the month, except for this month, which is the last Tuesday of the month.
That's so Hideout.
Yeah, isn't it?
It is so Hideout.
Isn't it?
Yeah, you can have every Tuesday except for the one Tuesday, because that's when Jeff Tweedy's.
Yeah, we need to push you
around. That's when Robbie Foulkes.
But we love you.
But we love you.
They're not listening. Don't worry about it. No. And last I saw, where did I see Katie was? She was somewhere out of town that she was telling us how great it was out of town. So I think they're still out there.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. All right. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk more about New Year's resolutions here for Ian's piece and also more about Write Club here in Chicago. It's a download. Stay with us. Let's turn it over. A new leaf. And baby, let's make promises that we can keep and call it. That's a jam. Pete Zimmerman coming through with a New Year's resolution jam. Now, the question I have is, does he just pull out the, Pete, do you pull out the record from the shelf and you're like, oh, I go to the category New Year's resolution, or do you just Google it? That's what, like, Google New Year's resolution music. Yeah. Doubtful. Ian Belknap, Lindsay Moscato from Write Club here. Do you have to say Write Club Chicago when you talk about you guys? I mean, it's your thing.
We are from the national headquarters of Write Club and
here
from
in Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah.
Right. That's right. How, now, Write Club, I said at the beginning, is a live lit show that two writers pit against each other, two opposing ideas. Right. Audience chooses, winner gives money away to charity.
Right. Yes, and have it all correct.
So give us a little quick elevator pitch. You know, that's very succinct, but about why you do this.
Remove all the verbs.
Yeah, exactly. what's your impetus to do this show every month?
It's a couple things. One is there's a lot of storytelling shows in the world, a lot of narrative-based live lit shows, which are nothing wrong with those. I don't begrudge them in the slightest. But ours is sort of much more fast-paced and much more loud, fun, argumentative, combative, which is, I mean,
the lifeblood of Chicago theater.
I'm the host, so like it couldn't be otherwise, you know what I mean? So and it's about ideas, which is a slight adjustment from story, from narrative, right? A really successful Write Club essay is one that speaks truth to the idea that you've been assigned, right? If it's fate or free will or whatever, but also makes some personal connection to you. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, we have had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of essayists come across our stage, and every single show, I'm just floored by the quality of the pieces, how you just, like, they kind of spin an idea that's tried and true in a totally new way, and it makes it just a totally unique experience each time. The show's different every time.
So you guys choose the ideas, the two of you?
Yeah.
Or Lindsay, take us through a sort of prep meeting for Write Club. I mean, when you decide that you're going to choose an idea and choose the essayist, how does it work?
Yeah, Ian actually does most of the booking, but we try to plan that out at the beginning of the year, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, what do we want in a year? We tend to plan them around holidays and things like that.
Or milestones, like if there's an election.
Elections
or whatever,
we'll
make it sort of faintly politically themed.
Something that someone will have heard of is a good hook. And then basically we just try to plan a balanced group of people to come in and perform.
It reminds me, and it always has, of a more, I guess, a looser stage version of what Ira Glass does with This American Life, where he takes an idea. And then there's three acts, and there's three different presentations from writers, from production.
Right.
More the older style stuff than what he does now. Where do you draw your inspiration from in putting this together? I mean, is it to put an idea like Write Club together? Where do you draw your inspiration from?
It's kind of the show that didn't exist that I needed there to be. It's like debate club if you didn't have to fight fair, if you didn't have to stick to the facts, right? Where you can lie, where you can manipulate the audience, where you can tug at the heartstrings, right? You can sort of unleash whatever tactical, you know, array that occurs to you rhetorically, right?
Mm-hmm.
a show like The Moth, which is very successful, sort of funnels performers into a very narrow form of narrative art. You know what I mean? And we don't have any such stylistic requirement, right? All you get is a one-word or short phrase assignment, like, you know, fire versus ice, right? Or fate versus free will.
Lock versus key, or amend versus repeal, or, you know, they're just kind of, they are false dichotomies.
Right.
Ian, where do you find your perform? Where do you find your writers? I mean, are they
well, the thing that is, that the only way that I can conclude that I did not waste my time in the theater for the 20 years or whatever that I did it, was that I met a lot of people, a lot of really smart, really entertaining, really charismatic people. And likewise, when I was doing stand-up comedy for a few years, I met some real, like, that guy is a smarty party type people, you know what I mean? And so I wanted a thing to exist where I could sort of jam together these fruitful sources of friction, right? If I could get alliterative. Good God, I just heard myself, WGM.
Where do you think you are?
Sorry. I got all public radio there for a second.
No, I liked it. I liked it. I think I don't want to speak for all the texters that are texting in, but they loved it too. Anytime you can get bonus alliteration from the download.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing too is that I'm the worst audience member on the face of the planet, right? Like I will turn on you in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. If I get the sense that, like, you have wasted a second of my time, I go from,
you're out.
All right, I'll follow this to I hate you.
Boo. Right? Yeah. You're a heckler?
No, I'm not a heckler. I'm just like, I'll sit and seethe. I'll sit and seethe.
Which, to a performer, we feel that, right?
Right, right. It's almost audible. Right?
And you just don't want to be sitting next to Ian Belknap when he's hating a show that you're watching.
No. I think I've been there.
A black hole of disaster.
I think I've been on stage a couple times and Ian seethed at me.
Yeah.
But so that's where the time limit of Write Club is critically important. You get 7 minutes and not a second longer.
Well, it's important. You too, Lindsay. I mean, both of you have a performance and a theatrical background. You've worked in, you know, different places where, you know, there has been institutions like the Neo-Futurists or other places where they want to flip things. They want to try and take what has been institutional theater or the trappings of theater and improve upon them for different audiences. How important is it for you to have that background in putting together a show? I mean, does it make it easier for you, Ian, since you've been on stage, you've done your own one-man shows where you're like, all right, we're cutting that part. Yeah. This is a good show. Doing that is a bad show.
Right, right. I think it makes the presentational element of reading your own work, like, easy in a way that for a lot of really skilled writers, it's not. Like, a lot of writers whom I really admire, like, get total flop sweats whenever they get the prospect of reading in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so
we call that the beer shakes. They bring their beer on stage and they have their page in one hand and the beer in the other, and they're about to read and everything just starts to shake all over the place. Yeah. Now I've seen that plenty of times.
Yeah. So in terms of, like, allaying that kind of nerves, it's great because, I mean, we both have enough experience being on stage now that it's not fight or flight, right? It's not like a...
Yeah, not for us personally, but I think actually the structure of the show ironically makes the stage that for everybody who's competing. And I mean, it's one of those environments where you're like, this could go badly. You know, I've seen some of the bravest, awesomest writers I have ever met just be in the back of the bar scribbling, still fixing their piece right up till the time that they're called up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel that. I get that because... I totally,
yeah,
you know.
There, yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I love that concept, the concept of almost game showing writing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're doing. I mean, in a good way.
Yeah.
But I mean, you see that happen all the time in different mediums. So food. I mean, the Food Network has created every other second is a game show version of cooking. Right? It's like
but
it does.
That makes me crazy.
But
I just want to see the barefoot Contessa
but you,
preparing a lovely dish. for her weekend guests.
You just want to see Pioneer Woman. Cook some brownies. You're not looking for a timer and they introduce a fish. We don't care about that.
You love Chopped.
I do. I get sucked in every time when I'm flipping around and Chopped is on. I'm like, which one is it going to be?
But you've seen, it's funny because I have seen arts and culture or literary performances go more in that direction. You guys are the pioneer of that, of the idea of making it more of a game for the audience as opposed to next up, Lindsay Moscato. She's a writer and she's right. going to read for 14 minutes and you be quiet.
Let me adjust my sweater. yeah, and we really intentionally pulled principles from we met at the Neo-Futurist and they are, you know, the originators of that kind of fast style of theater that always changes, that pulls in the audience. And we really relied on that as our inspiration. And we, you know, we do, when people want to give us money, we say, we're not just a game show, you know, we're so much more. And we are, you know, I think we're spreading ideas and quality writing in places that it wouldn't ordinarily go. But we do have a gamification element to it because I think that just adds to the engagement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing that I wanted out of this was that an audience does not just get to sit back and receive, you know, writerly pearls, right? they have to be invested. They have to be involved, right? They pick the winners of the bouts. There is money on the line. There's actual stakes rather than it just being like, let's all, you know, be tweety and murmuring and, you know. That's
I don't know what it is, man. It's just dripping disdain for everything coming out of your mouth.
No.
Like, I love it. I love it.
That's how we normally
talk. Yeah, no, but I love it. I just don't have enough interaction, Ian Belknap interaction in my life. I see it on social media all the time, but now having it right here is so nice.
Here's the business, okay? Like, I've done this show now about 90 times between here and the other cities where it is. And there has never been, and I swear to God this is the case, there has never been a chapter of Write Club where I've not been dazzled by something, by some turn of phrase or some novel, like, oh my God, that's an idea that never would have occurred to me to attach to this assignment, right? And I, like I said, I'm the worst audience member in the world. If you chop me down, you can count the rings of disdain, right? And so for me to be able to like find a thing and make a thing that like excites me every time, right? Like, that's astounding.
It's impressive. Yeah, it's impressive.
She's known me for a long time and she can tell you, like, hates everything, then there's like a little pocket of warmth for family and dog.
Yeah.
And then more hates everything.
No, it's right? True. And actually, so we're talking about New Year's resolutions, and I think actually this started in January. It was almost like there was a turning moment in your mind, right? Where you were like, I'm going to die this way, hating everything. Right. And you were like, I have to find something that I like. And you invited me to help you in this journey.
That's right.
Okay, yeah. Here's what we're going to do. We'll take a break. We come back. We're going to read the text. Tell Billy not to stay on the line. Billy's got a good New Year's resolution. And then we're going to hear your piece that you wrote on New Year's resolution. Ian Belknap, Lindsay Moscato, the brains behind Write Club, which you could see every third Tuesday at the Hideout, except for this month, it's on the 26th.
That's correct.
That's
wow.
Right. See? Nice. Look at that. So, wow.
He's listening.
Wow. He can read websites. when we come back, more with these guys here on the download. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, Ian Belknap, Lindsay Moscato. In studio with me, they're the brains behind Write Club. Fantastic and well-established, highly recommended. I don't say that. These are words that I borrow from places like Chicago Reader. I remember there was a big story in the Trib not too long ago. I mean, you guys have gotten a lot of local support.
Yeah, New City, Chicago Magazine, Time Out Chicago. We've been on best of lists in all of those.
Best of. There you go.
We have been called the punchiest thing since Hemingway in writing.
Which, when you say it like that, whoa, yeah. Man. Woo-wee.
Yeah, I don't know.
The punchiest thing.
Yeah, I'm on the radio.
Well, right? Let's talk about New Year's resolutions, because Ian, I want to hear your piece that you put up on Facebook, because I think it's inspiring to all the people who are called in and texted. I'm going to read the texts and the calls, and we'll take calls at the end of the segment. But let's hear your piece, because I think that might help some people.
Okay. You know,
and no swears, no swears.
That's what I aim to do, is inspire.
Yeah, of course. That's your whole life. Okay, here you go.
All right. For the dawning year, I resolved the following. 1. Frolic more. Or rather, begin frolicking. Or at a minimum, take that frolicking workshop at Discovery Center, which claims to really jumpstart your frolicking. 2. Dance like nobody's watching, because I will have killed them all. 3. Live tweet that colonoscopy. 4. Stop and smell the roses, because smelling the roses at a dead sprint is so last year, you guys. 5. Become more flirtatious with disaster. 6. Get out of debt in some way that does not entail stomping on that Thelma and Louise gas pedal. 7. Follow my dreams, even though they are mostly set either in a swamp or in my fourth grade classroom at Fort River Elementary, or that startled panic when you feel like you're falling out of bed. 8. Believe in myself. This one is pretty easy since I'm based on actual events. 9. Become more joyous, more than none. 10. Lose 20 pounds in some way that does not entail self-amputation. 11. When I look back and see that there was just one set of footprints in the sand, don't say a word. This will spare us all a buttload of cliché. 12. Learn new things that do not cause me to despair. So, no more news out of Florida or Texas. 13. Learn how to ask for help in Farsi, so I can get the double benefit of having my worst suspicions about Americans confirmed and the smug satisfaction of being a know-it-all dirtbag. 14. Spread my wings, which are really just leathery flaps of skin between my wrists and ankles, like a furless flying squirrel. 15. Learn Krav Maga, because mutely telegraphing my discomfort and mounting desperation consistently fails to get me out of conversations. 16. Make more art. Not just the glitter glue kind. Step it up, idiot. You're a grown man. 17. Be more positive that this is all folly. 18. Face my demons, so that we can at least make out a little bit before they overtake me completely. 19. Create more memes. Life is a hollow farce without a ton of memes. And 20. Make America great again. Return it to an era when prostitutes cost a nickel and human trafficking was a totes legit business model, when racial segregation lent clarity to the paranoid nightmare we all shared, when ladies didn't have to trouble their pretty heads with nothing beyond dodging a punch from their man, when a working man who played by the rules could die early on a bar stool muttering about immigrants.
Hey, there it is. There you go. See? Ian Belknap.
Inspired.
You inspired
me.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
All right, let me go to the text, and Ian, Ian Lindsay, give me what you think this means. 815 says, eat more pizza. You have any thought on that resolution?
Seems like...
Well, I need a baseline. I need to know how much pizza what your current intake is.
Right.
Because I don't know that it's possible, strictly speaking. If you're eating it, like, say, 16 hours a day, I don't know how much more. So...
847 says, I resolve to stop not eating pizza.
Is this the same person?
No, it's different. 815. And they could have two phones from two different area codes right next to each
that's
other.
That's right.
They could.
That's right.
I don't know.
That's their cunning plan.
What is
I'll get that pizza one in, man.
It's a lot of pizza.
It's a lot of pizza.
That's 2016.
It's a lot of pizza.
Pizza. My New Year's resolution is I'm going to try to limit my beer intake to only 5 beers in a week.
That's impossible. This is Chicago.
My follow-up question would be, what are the size of those beers? Because if it's like a 55-gallon drum, that's no biggie, right? That's not hard.
That's not hard. You can do that. Moved into a new house this fall. This is 847. My resolution is to unpack and organize the entire house so that I can put up decorations for Christmas 2016. Yes, it may take all year, sigh.
It's a sigh.
Sigh.
But that's true.
Speaking as a homeowner, we moved in, I think, in 2008. And I can pledge, if my experience is to be believed, you will not be ready by next year.
Good. All right. Let's go to Billy on the line. Billy, give us your New Year's resolution.
Well, first of all, I want to say that I just hate V-neck sweaters, and yours is ugly. Ugly.
Mine is?
Are you watching
on the webcam?
Wow.
I am.
This is the gap.
And that wow guy, he's not even funny. He's not funny, but my New Year's resolution, and I am going to stick with it, is not to be so judgmental.
Yay! I love it.
I was really questioning that, Billy.
That was a classic switcheroo. Well played.
Good job. All right, stay on hold. I want to give you, Billy, thank you so much. I'm going to give Billy a pizza. That was good. That was the best call. That was
the irony being. In your face, that's pizza
probably,
resolvers.
That's probably why we have so much pizza, because I'm going to give him a pizza. I didn't even see that. And I was really worried. I'm like, because this is a sharp V-neck sweater.
Yeah,
I was worried. I was like, it was 50% off. You know, it was a December 27th purchase, but still. It would be expensive if it was real price. So I'm glad that was all a switcheroo.
Yeah, no. Well,
don't worry, you're pulling it off.
Even if it wasn't, okay? They're getting a grainy image of you via the web. We are in the room with you.
Yeah, and you're saying
it's okay. Can barely keep our hands off you.
4D V-neck sweater for the win.
That's for the win. All right, you got to go see Right Club. It is at the Hideout on January 26th. I think we're on to something. I think Ian and Lindsay interpret anyone's resolutions or ideas. Should be a new segment here in the download. We're getting somewhere.
We'll come back.
Yeah, anything that people want to throw out and you guys just sort of, you know, to have your take on it.
We have takes.
We could have it where she thinks it's an okay idea, and then I'll explain to us all why it's going to be a horrible disaster.
Or vice versa. That happens all the time.
It does happen all the time.
Actually, we have an entire podcast where that's all we
What's
do.
What's the podcast?
That's all we do.
It's rightclubnation.com/podcast, and you can hear us argue on any number of things.
You go. We're on to something. Right Club, January 26th at the Hideout. That's an early start, right? You do the 6:30?
7 o'clock.
And then every
third
Tuesday.
And just so you know, listeners, 7 o'clock means 7 o'clock. Don't roll in at 7:08 expecting.
That's totally me.
Also, it mostly sells out, so just get there a little bit early.
I like to get there. Here's my shtick. I don't like to give it away. But I liked, especially the shows at the Hideout, I show up a little bit later. And then when it's sold out, I'm like, oh, I tried to make it.
Sorry, buddy.
I was there. Yeah. You ask Seth at the door. I was there.
That's right.
I was.
Make sure you're seen by the door guy.
I tell Lawrence, I'm like, hey, what's up? I wish I could. Anyway. And then I get back and I double parked out front a little bit. Ian, Lindsay, great to see you. Thanks for coming in. And go see Right Club.